Hello, everybody. Pastor Alex here. For the second week in a row, speaking to you from the parsonage, in a different room this time. COVID decided to take a shot at me, and so here I am until at least the end of the week. So we'll do the best we can with what we can. I'm getting a little better. Still have a long way to go. Shelly is still pretty sick. She is improving a little bit at a time. The kids are, of course, 100% ready to go, ready to conquer the world. They're going back to school and all that. So things are interesting here at the Parsonage, as they have been for the last couple of weeks now. Today we talk about hope. Have you ever heard those stories about someone who was lost at sea? In the summer of 2017, there were two longtime commercial fishermen, a guy named John Aldridge and another named Anthony Sosinski, who went out to fish from Montauk, Long Island. And as they headed out to sea about 40 miles offshore, Anthony was sleeping below deck, and John was starting to get things ready for the catch that they'd soon start hauling in. He was pulling on a handle with all of his strength, and when he did that, it snapped. And it sent him flying backwards and right off the back of the boat, and he fell into the deep ocean. Well, the boat was on autopilot, so it just kept going. And as soon as he resurfaced from the water, John began screaming for help, but there was no way Anthony could hear him, and Anthony didn't hear him. John watched the boat go up and over the crest of the wave, and then it was gone. Like that, he couldn't see it anymore. He was alone, treading in the water in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. No life vest, thinking that this was the way that he was going to for sure die. Can you imagine what that must have been like? If there's ever been a helpless, hopeless situation, that has got to be it, for sure. Well, John was trying to calm down. He was trying to quiet his thoughts of certain death. He was trying to stay afloat. He realized that his boots were kind of floaty, and so he got an idea. He took one off, he emptied it out, and he put it back down into the water so that it created an air pocket, and it did, it floated. So he stuck his boots under his arms as flotation devices, and at least this way he could stay afloat. He had a little hope, a little flicker of hope. John thought about his family and the fact that no one anywhere knows that he's missing even. He tried to set goals one at a time, beginning with just living till morning. 4 hours later, Anthony woke up and realized John was gone. He called the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard began doing search, even though the Coast Guard commander admitted that he didn't have much hope of finding John in so much open water. On the boat, Anthony found the broken handle and he knew what happened. And he also knew that that would mean that John was in some very deep water. Well, John made it alive till morning, and he tried to keep his hope alive. But the hours kept passing and there was no sign of help. And finally, he spotted a fishing buoy and he was able to reach it, and he climbed onto the buoy. A new surge of hope. In less than an hour, a Coast Guard helicopter flew by and spotted him. And they pulled him out to safety. And the pilot said to him, "We've been looking for you for 9 hours today." He said to the Coast Guard diver, "Well, I've been looking for you for 12 hours. Miraculously, John Aldrich survived. What an amazing story. What amazing hope. If it were most of us that we're alone out there in the middle of the ocean, we would have probably given up any hope that there was even a sliver of a chance that we might survive. But hope is like that. Hope is the whisper that maybe these boots will float if I turn them upside down. What is hope in your life? For some, hope is the first candle to be lit when the power goes out in the storm. For some, hope is the first day you wake up and you can breathe again after an awful illness. And hope is that percentage that you do have of beating the cancer that you have. Hope is the faint line on that stick when you've been struggling to get pregnant. It's the first day, first bit of sunshine coming through the window after a tearful, difficult night. Hope is hearing the words, she's going to be okay. Hope is the flicker of maybe, just maybe. Hope is the fuel. It feeds faith, it feeds dreams, and hope is what we celebrate on this first Sunday of Advent. Advent is actually a season of hope. The word Advent means coming or arrival, and the season is marked by expectation, waiting, anticipation, longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links together the past, the present, and the future. Advent is a time when we share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah to celebrate his birth and to be ready for his coming. Advent looks back, looks forward, both. It looks back in celebration at the hope that is fulfilled in Christ's coming, while at the same time looks forward, hoping and looking ahead in eager anticipation to that day when Christ's kingdom will come to earth, when he returns for his people. During Advent, we wait for both. It's an active, hopeful waiting. Advent is an opportunity to set aside time to prepare our hearts and to help us focus on a far greater story than our own, the story of God's wonderful redeeming love for us and for our whole world. It's not a season of pretending or covering up. It's a season of digging deep into the reality of what it means that God sent his Son into the world to be Emmanuel, God with us. It's a season of expecting and preparing. It's a season of with an opportunity to be in God's presence and for that to be more important than those other kind of presents. So wherever you are on your spiritual journey, I invite you into this Advent season. It's a time that allows for questions and struggle as we take time to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. Advent isn't a celebration that God comes to fix things, but Advent is a celebration, very simply, that God comes. God comes to be with us. He is the God with us in the darkness, in the pain, in the chaos. He comes. And he makes a way. That's the way God's been working throughout history. Back in the beginning, in the way God intended his creation, he walked freely and openly with people, with his people, Adam and Eve. He was with us. And they enjoyed wholeness and intimacy with God. But you know the story. They chose sin, and that divided God and humans. And the brokenness of our world that we know far too well today is the result that just goes on. But do you realize that ever since then, God has been working toward restoring and healing and making us whole and making all that he has made whole again? This is the story, the overall story of the Bible. Throughout it, we can see God making a way and giving and reminding his people of hope that he is still at work. We see it in God's promises, his covenant with Abraham, when he told Abraham, all people on earth will be blessed through you. God encouraged Jacob. He renewed his covenant with Jacob. He said, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And there were others that we don't have time to get into today. But with each of the prophets, hope was alive again. Maybe you're thinking, well, so what? That's all nice and great for all those people thousands of years ago, but what about for us? What about for me? They weren't fighting cancer. Their spouse didn't walk out on them. They didn't lose their job. They don't have bills to pay. Kids expecting to get Christmas presents and no money. They're not trying to figure out where the next meal comes from. But no matter what kind of problems and struggles that you might be facing right now, no matter what kind of season of darkness or pain you might be in, let me encourage you this morning not to abandon hope. Hope is alive. Even in our deepest pain and in our hopeless circumstances that come sometimes, hope is alive because God is with us. How has God worked in your life? Think about it. What are those moments and those memories when you have experienced God's work in your life? You know those times when you had no doubt that God was there, that God was working. Maybe it's been recently. Maybe it's been a long time. But in those circumstances swirling around you, the presence of God's Spirit is always with you. What does that have to do with hope? What do these memories have to do with here and now? Well, gratitude, thankfulness, and appreciation bring hope. Listen to these words from Jeremiah, found in the book of Lamentations. It says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great hope, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore will I wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the Lord." Lamentations chapter 3. Did you catch that at the beginning? "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." Jeremiah understood that there's hope in the future when we remember what God has done for us in the past. We know that hope sparks us like a fire. It flows like water. Hope grows like a seed. It grows and spreads like a living plant. It can dwindle. It can get smaller. And it even can die at times. I've had times in my life when I've been without hope. And I'm sure others have too. But with nurture and with care, it can revive, it can live again, and it can flourish, and it can multiply. Focusing on your gratitude can help grow our hope. Recognizing and appreciating the good thing that God has shown us in the past can increase our hope for all that he will do in the future. Sharing this gratitude and hope with those who love and support us can multiply many times over. As we nurture this living hope, it can sustain us through our darkest days as we wait for God to move. My prayer is that as we begin the season of Advent, that you'll remember that it is a season of hope. A time when we remember that that hope was brought forth. And that baby was born in the manger. And that he will be coming again. I trust that you all have a good week. I hope that I will be back next week to be with you. I think I should be. It looks like if we... If everything goes well and I improve by the end of the week, then I will be back in the office on Saturday. So I hope to see you all again. I miss you all. And I hope that you could bear with my raspy voice this morning, but I really wanted to speak to my people. I love you all. Have a great week.